Good morning. We're missing a few. Some still coming in. Glad to have you this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel. Or in that fifth chapter, we have the story of what is called the Feast of Belshazzar. So if you're with me in Daniel chapter 5, in verse 1 it says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. Belshazzar made a feast. He should have been making a fast because unbeknownst to him, his enemies were at his gates. That very night of this feast, Babylon would fall. Belshazzar would die. Belshazzar and the people of Babylon thought they had the greatest defense. They thought they had the atom bomb of the day, the super-duper missile, or they had a wall around their city that was so big and so tall that they thought they could never be conquered. But the Medes and the Persians figured out a way to divert the course of the stream of the river that flowed into that great city, and their soldiers marched under the wall of the city. Belshazzar should have been repenting, but instead he was reveling in sin that night. As I read this fifth chapter, as I understand what God is saying to Belshazzar and to those of Babylon, I can't help but wonder if this is not a picture of America in this hour. We're surrounded by the enemies. We have immorality. We have atheism. We have all the perversions that you can imagine. Jesus had an interesting verse or two. Found, if you want to follow me, over in the Gospel of Luke in the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 26. When he says, as it was in the day of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Maybe that is a picture of this country in this hour. Making merry while the enemy is at the gates. We look upon the reveling that's going on in our country today and we wonder why people aren't knocking on the door of the church and wondering what a person must do in order to be saved. People ought to be thinking about these things. There ought to be a great national revival. But seemingly today, the only people that are knocking on the door of the church are those who are trying to tear it down and out of society in this country in which we live. This country, like Belshazzar's nation, might be seeing the fingers of a man's hand that's writing on the wall of the plaster. Meeny, meeny, tickle your farson. Oh yes, this fifth chapter of Daniel begins by saying Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. The sin that Belshazzar was committing and those that had gathered for the party was the fact that he profaned that which was holy. Pick up the story in verse 2. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives, his concubines, might drink from them. These vessels had been only used in holy service before. But now Belshazzar, which was holy. You might, if you think about that, Consider that there are many today who profane that which is holy. I don't know which apostle it was. I don't know whether it was three or four apostles. I don't know whether it was all of the apostles, but some of the apostles instructed the early church that they ought to partake of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day. Over in the Gospel of Luke, in the 22nd chapter in verse 19, it says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in regards to the taking of the Lord's Supper, in the second chapter of Acts, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." We know that the early church was steadfast in the Lord's Supper, but we still don't know when or how often they took of the Lord's Supper. As I said, one of the apostles, maybe all of them, must have told the early church that it ought to be done every Lord's Day, every first day of the week. I don't find that written in Galatians. I don't find it in Romans or Acts, or I don't find it in any of the apostles. But I do find in the book of Acts, in the 20th chapter, verse 7, this verse. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the church at Troas partook of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day." Why did they do it? I think they did it because of what you read over in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, that says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The apostles must have instructed them in some way. And so we have the precedent that the early church, as we do today, partakes of the Lord's Supper as we begin our week, each first day. Each Lord's Day. Every Lord's Day. So it begs the question, have we profaned that which is holy? Belshazzar took of the gold and of the silver cups that had been taken from the temple in Jerusalem, and he profaned those cups. Read on in Daniel 5, beginning in verse 3. "Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem. And the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, and iron, wood, and stone." I guess we could say that there are those today who take the cup of Jesus that he gave to the church, and they have profaned this holy cup, this holy table. I'm not talking about people who aren't Christians. I'm sure there's a whole mass of people out there today that are somewhere knocking some little white ball around some great green grass area. There might be some out there on the lake or down at the coast that are row, row, rowing their boat. They might be crammed into all of the supermarkets or the clothing stores in this community. I'm not judging them. The Lord will judge them. They do not believe in Christ, for Christ says there's no way unto the Father but by Him. But for the Christian, may it be said that we will never again profane that which is holy. That we'll be in the Lord's house, we'll be at His table. For we do not know, but this very day, somewhere the Lord's finger may be writing, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin." Let's go back to Daniel 5 and begin in verse 5. "In the same hour the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened, and his knees knocked against each other." What do we say? Belshazzar, the king, was afraid. He was scared. scared enough to knock his knees. He was scared to death. Belshazzar wasn't afraid that there was an earthquake. He was afraid because he saw the hand right on the plaster wall, the words from God. He was afraid of God's word. And the day will come when every unforgiven sinner will be afraid of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're real familiar with Scripture, you know that in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. Interesting phrase. The sword. The atheist, the unbeliever, the person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as the virgin-born Son of God, he might look at this Bible and say, God, is this the best weapon that you've got against me? I'm not afraid of a book. I'm not afraid of the words. He might even say, I'm not afraid of the sword of the Spirit. But there will be a day in which he will be afraid. We know that day. We call it the Judgment Day. How will the atheist feel on Judgment Day when God approaches them with the open Bible in his hand? My guess is that on that day, that atheist's knees will knock. His hips will be loose. He will be troubled. And he will wish that the Lord took a razor and slit his throat. Then have him come with the open Bible and declare what is written in Psalm 14:1 and also in Psalm 53:1. Words we studied Wednesday night. Richie's class, you ought to come. The fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. The impure person on the day of judgment would rather have Jesus come with that atom bomb I talked about, blow him to smithereens, exploded in his face, rather than to have God come with his word, his sword, that open Bible in Matthew 5:8 where it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What about the Christ rejecter? Person who won't take Christ as his Savior. Too proud to admit that they need help from above. Too proud to be immersed for the remission of their sins. One day Jesus has come with his word in his hand, and those people will be afraid when that sword of the Spirit opens to that verse in Mark 16:16 where it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. The day will come like Belshazzar when the unforgiven sinner will be afraid of the word of God. And when that day comes, I suspect it will be much like Belshazzar. Their countenance will change. Their thoughts will trouble them. The joints of their hips will be loosened and their knees will knock. Because for them, the finger of a hand of God will have been written on the plaster of their lives many, many tikkun yafarsin. Yeah, Belshazzar was afraid. Go back to Daniel 5. Let's pick it up in verse 7. Then the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Same is true today. People still call for the astrologers of the world. I imagine you can still pick up the newspaper and find your horoscope somewhere in there. You can read it and say, this is what the day is going to be like. We call for the wise men of science. and the wise men of medicine and say, give us the answer to all of life's questions. Read what happened in Daniel 5:8. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. The reality is there are a lot of people who can read the Word of God. They just choose not to. They won't. I can turn on the radio. I can turn on the television. I can do it this morning. I can listen to denominational preachers all over who won't read Acts 2:38. It's in their Bible. Peter spoke it. The other apostles did too, in all the languages that were gathered that day in Jerusalem. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Call the astrologers. Call the preachers. Call the wise men. They choke up on that verse, Acts 2:38. For that matter, there are some people who can't read the Bible when it comes to discussions about hell. We talked about that the other day. They can't read the verses in the Bible that talk about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They don't believe that. Some can't read the Bible and find out anything about the judgment day or about a heavenly home. Oh, it's in their Bibles. They just choose not to read it. Call on the astrologers. Call on the preachers. Call on the wise men and see if they can read the writing. It says, now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. That wasn't what the king wanted to hear. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lord were astonished. Lucky for him, his wife, the queen, came down to calm him down. Let's pick up the story in verse 10. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. I read that and I said, what can we do without the wisdom of our women? Daniel the prophet heeded his queen, called in Daniel to be interviewed by the king. Daniel was offered the golden chain around his neck. He was offered the opportunity to be third in the kingdom as far as being a ruler. But look down in verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. Daniel didn't do that right away. Rather, he began to talk about Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar's father. Look at verse 18. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory, and honor. God did that. Daniel reminded Belshazzar about the mighty reign of his father, Nebuchadnezzar and the power that he ended up with, and how that power hardened his heart in self-pride. Daniel reminded Belshazzar how God took him down. Down in verse 21. Then he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. All the words to Belshazzar are words to us today. But then Daniel turns to Belshazzar, to the writing on the wall. Look beginning in verse 22. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. Although you knew all of this, and you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lord, your wives and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see, or hear, or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Wow. The God which holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. And because it says Belshazzar has lifted himself up against the Lord of heaven, Daniel says in verse 24 and 25, the fingers of the hand were sent from him, and this writing was written, and this is the inscription that was written: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Little boy came home one day from church. His mother didn't go, and as he walked into the house, she said, "What was the sermon about?" Well, it turns out the preacher preached on this story. The little boy says, "The sermon was about someone who was a meanie meanie for tickling the parson." Meanie meanie tickle your parson. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Belshazzar's night had come. He would breathe his last breath. His heart would beat the last time. He would profane that which is holy no more. Someone wrote it this way, the author I do not know. That night they slew him on his father's throne. He died unnoticed, and the hand unknown, crownless and scepterless, Belshazzar lay. A robe of purple round a form of clay. For every one of us, our day will finally be numbered. We will breathe our last breath, Our heart will beat the last time. We will live the last year, the last month, the last week, maybe the last hour. Our day will finally know its number. And that number will come up. Daniel says, "You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting." Socially, I guess you could say Belshazzar weighed a ton. Physically, I don't know. Maybe he weighed 200 pounds or more. Spiritually, what do we say, 95-pound weakling? "You have been weighed in the balances and found wanting." Someday we will be weighed in the balances. John in chapter 12, verse 48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Meeny, meeny, tickle your farson. God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Your kingdom has been divided, given to the Medes and Persians. On that final day of judgment, the unforgiven sinner is not going to be given to the Medes and Persians, but he's going to be given to the devil and his angels. Another point. 'Twas the feast of Belshazzar and 1,000 of his lords drink their wine from golden vessels, as the Book of Truth records. In the night, as they reveled in royal palace hall, they were seized by consternation. 'Twas the hand upon the wall. See the brave captive Daniel as he stood before the throne. He rebuked the haughty monarch for his mighty deeds of wrong. As he read out the writing, it was done for one and all. For the kingdom now was finished. And the hand upon the wall. So our deeds are recorded. There's a hand that's writing now. For the day is approaching. It must come to one and all when the sinner's condemnation will be written on the wall. Stark words we read this morning. An interesting story from Daniel chapter 5. He didn't just give it to us so that we could read it and say, "Well, look what happened to Belshazzar." He gave us that story to say, let's look at our own lives. It can happen to us. This morning, as we sing the song of invitation, Christ invites you to come to Him through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, by being immersed for the forgiveness of those sins, to rise and walk and attempt to keep that which is holy. Come if you will, as we stand and sing together.